Okay, so thank you for joining us today. My presentation is about a corner store evaluation, and today I'm going to be talking about the evaluation of the Latino serving corner stores and whether or not we've had positive outcomes with those. So what we know from the literature is that obesity rates in particular have been increasing throughout the years. And I had a pretty slide from the CDC to illustrate that, but clearly it's not here, so we'll have to wing it. But basically, throughout the years, it's been obesity and overweight have been increasing pretty substantially across the United States, and that's also true in Nebraska, where these corner stores are implemented. And there are several reasons for the increases in obesity rates, and there's several factors that lead to obesity in the first place. I think a lot of times we see more of a focus on individual level factors, so people's choosing healthy foods or not. More and more there's been a shift toward focusing on environmental factors, things like access to food, access to places to exercise, things of that nature. Okay. Here's my pretty obesity slide from the CDC showing the increases in obesity rates. Nebraska is right here. You can see it was around 10 to 14% in 1990, then increased by 2000 to about 20 to 24%, and now up to 25 to 29%. So pretty drastic increases, similar across the country. And so basically, as I was saying, more and more there's been kind of a shift in focus from just the individual level factors, which certainly are important. People's behavioral choices are important, but more to understanding why people make those behavioral choices in the first place. And we know that environment plays a large role in that. And with that focus in the research world on environmental factors, there's also been a shift in the funding world, to where it's at this point to some degree easier and more in line with the research literature to get funding for environmental change strategies versus individual level prevention programs. So with that in mind, the CDC has put out a few grants in the past several years focused on these environmental and policy changes. The first was Communities Putting Prevention to Work, and that was followed by the Community Transformation Grants. And both were focused more on implementing those environmental changes and policy changes focused on obesity and chronic diseases. So the project that I'm going to talk about today was funded by both the Community Transformation Grant and the Communities Putting Prevention to Work Grant. And the Douglas County Health Department in Omaha, Nebraska actually received these grants. And it's important to note that the CTG grant was a smaller amount than the CPPW grant. So a lot of the activities continued, but maybe at a reduced level, and that's going to be relevant as I talk about my results for the corner stores. So just a little bit more about the Community Transformation Grant in Douglas County. Like I said, it's funded, the health department, the local health department is funded, but that was also in collaboration with an organization called Live Well Omaha. And Live Well Omaha has been around for about 15 years and worked pretty heavily with the health department for many years prior to these grants. And their focus really is on making the healthy choice the easy choice in communities. With CTG, the focus was on smoke-free housing, so increasing the number of smoke-free housing units, having clinical pharmacists and federally qualified health centers to link basically prescription adherence with clinical needs, access to physical activity opportunities, which was a range of things, and access to healthy food and beverages. And within that, I'm talking about the corner store intervention today. But I wanted to highlight that this isn't an independent project. It's part of a larger community-focused project. And our corner store project is called Healthy Neighborhood Stores. And my role on the project and on CPPW was always as the external evaluator. So I don't work at the health department. I work with them, though, on this project. So what we know about corner stores, they're definitely more common in areas with a higher number of minorities and residents with low income. We know that generally, if you think about corner stores or just convenience stores in general, they're is kind of an abundance of unhealthy foods and often limited healthy foods available. And when healthy foods are available, they're often more expensive than you would find in, let's say, a full-service grocery store. And in low-income areas, there often aren't full-service grocery stores. They're what we call food deserts. And corner stores sometimes serve as a primary source of food because there isn't access to a larger grocery store. And in some studies, there has been success with these corner store interventions. So increasing access to healthy foods in the corner store has been associated with sales of the healthy foods. But there's really more limited information about Latino serving corner stores specifically. And so for our Healthy Neighborhood Stores project, 8 stores were started during the CPPW funding, and 2 additional stores were added during CTG. So there's a total of 10 stores currently. 4 of those primarily serve Latinos, and I'm going to focus on those 4 stores today. The intervention really focuses on price promotion and placement of 5 healthy foods: low-fat and fat-free milk, 100% whole grains, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, and lean proteins. So price is making those foods competitively priced so that people can afford to purchase them in the corner stores. Promotion really focuses on having signage that highlights those healthy foods. And placement means not putting the healthy foods in the back corner of the store, but rather bringing them closer to the register where people will notice them. Additionally, with this initiative, there was a lot of signage on the outside of the stores. At the very beginning of the project, we conducted focus groups with neighborhood residents to better understand how they utilize the corner stores or not, and also what foods they would like to see in the corner stores, things of that nature. And definitely the residents said that they typically would not purchase groceries at corner stores. This is at the very beginning before they became the healthy neighborhood stores. And so a lot of effort went into kind of rebranding some of the stores, taking down some of the tobacco and alcohol signage when possible, putting up healthy neighborhood store signs on the outside and inside. In addition to that, the Douglas County Health Department provided supplies like coolers to store the healthy food, signage, and also incentives like reusable grocery bags to customers. They provided technical assistance through store owner trainings, things like food safety and storage information, and they did food demonstrations with the healthy foods that were being introduced into the stores, and they also provided some nutrition education in the stores. So for this project, I'm focusing on a couple different evaluation questions. First, are these five types of healthy foods actually available in these stores? That was the goal. Are they there? How frequently do customers go to these stores, and how much do they spend? How difficult is it for customers to find these foods in the stores? And what percentage of customers actually are purchasing these healthy foods? The key question. So to look at this, we did the Nutrition Environment Measure Survey, the corner store version of that survey, at the very beginning of the project and really every year since. And the score on that can be 0 to 5, 0 meaning none of those 5 healthy foods are available, 5 meaning all of them are available. We also conducted intercept surveys with customers outside of the healthy neighborhood stores in 2013 and 2014. But it's important to note that due to funding constraints and a variety of issues, the intercept surveys were not initially a part of the evaluation plan. They were added because we actually ended up having some funds left over at the end of 1 year of CTG. And so there isn't a baseline assessment. So when you look at the numbers, keep that in mind. We're looking at change over 1 year, but we don't know what the purchases were at the very beginning. And so we're just doing some basic analysis for this, chi-square tests and t-tests. So for the NIMS results, when they started, most of the stores had a score of around 2. Between 2013 and 2014, most of the stores had stable scores, that's a tongue twister there, of 3 that stayed pretty stable at 3. One store had a lower score. They had a score of 4 and it decreased to a 3. The bottom line is most of the stores were right around a 3. They had about 3 of the 5 healthy foods that we hoped that they would stock. So in terms of our participants, you can see we have just a 2003 column and then a 2014 column. really there weren't a lot of changes over time. We had about 207 participants, and again, this is just for the Latino serving, those four stores. And then in 2014, we had about 250. About half were female at both time points, about 75% Hispanic, followed by about 20% African American. And most of the customers were in the 25 to 44 age range. We only focused on adults. We specifically did not target children for this. And in terms of WIC and SNAP benefits, about 31% of the customers who participated received WIC and SNAP or SNAP in 2013, and in 2014, about 31% did. But very few were actually using WIC or SNAP at the time that they visited the corner store. So they had those benefits, but they weren't necessarily using them at the corner stores. In terms of usage, this remained pretty similar across 2013 and 2014. On average, customers visited the stores about three times a week, but about 30% visited every day. I'm guessing they weren't buying groceries every day, but it could be. They spent approximately $15 on average at their last visit. So, again, that highlights that maybe they're not necessarily purchasing their groceries for the week. In terms of access and purchases, so here we have if they agree that it was easy to find these items. So you'll see that here. And then also did they purchase these different items. So you can see from 2013 to 2014, there were some changes, but overall, the majority of people felt that it was easy to find the five items that we were targeting. That decreased in terms of whole grains from 90% to 83%, and for low-fat and fat-free milk from 86% to 77%. But still, the overwhelming majority felt like these foods were in the store. In terms of purchases, however, that's a whole nother story. So fresh fruit, really all of the items were made fairly stable except for lean proteins, which was a sad 7% in 2013. 7% of customers actually purchased lean proteins and was 2% in 2014. But overall, I think that these results weren't what we were hoping necessarily. But like I said, we don't have a baseline to know where they started. It's very possible that in some of these stores, some of these numbers were zero initially because the item wasn't even in the store to be purchased. So that's something to keep in mind. And like I mentioned, didn't have that baseline, so that is a limitation. But there is another similar study where they did have a baseline, and at baseline, 5% purchased the healthy items they were targeting, and at follow-up, 16% did. So again, just highlighting that although the numbers aren't as high as we would like, it doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't some positive change. We also just, based on the timing of when our funding came in and when we had to spend it, we had a small number of visits at each store. So it's possible that if we had visited each store more times, maybe we would have seen more variety and maybe people would have purchased more of these healthy foods at different times of the week or different times of day. And we didn't look at unhealthy food purchases, which is a really important piece of this puzzle. So in conclusion, basically from all of the results that we have every reason to believe that the availability of healthy foods really was maintained over time, but not all healthy foods were offered, and that it was easy to find these healthy foods in these Latino serving healthy neighborhood stores, but most customers really weren't purchasing these healthy foods. So I think that really could relate to grocery shopping or food preferences. So for example, our customers perhaps prefer to buy their groceries at other types of stores. And there's also quite a bit of literature that suggests that maybe some of the items that were targeted in the intervention, maybe there wasn't a high demand for those in the community. So, for example, there's definitely evidence to suggest that most Latinos don't eat the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables, that high-fat milk is more popular among Latinos, and that consumption of whole grain products isn't common among Latinos with low income. So I think more work needs to be done to make sure that the intervention is targeted appropriately, even though we conducted those initial focus groups. And this may be a lesson for others who are conducting healthy neighborhood store interventions. And with that in mind, I think that sometimes with these types of promising or evidence-based interventions, we still have to tailor them to meet the needs of the community. And I think part of that has to do with monitoring how the community changes over time, but also monitoring readiness to kind of accept the changes that you're introducing into the community. So how ready are people to change their shopping habits, to utilize the corner stores when in the past they wouldn't have? How ready are they to change their eating habits if foods do become available? These are really important questions that can influence these types of initiatives. I think we also need ongoing assessments in corner store initiatives to really determine how appropriate are the foods that are offered. Should the intervention be adjusted over time as the population changes, perhaps? And I think we also need to, just as I already alluded to, better understand how perceptions of corner stores change over time, because they're not always initially positive. And I just wanted to acknowledge the CDC for providing the funding and note that these views in this presentation aren't the official views of the CDC. I don't have any other financial disclosures, which I didn't mention initially. And if you have questions, feel free to email me or at the end ask those.